Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. We begin towards the very bottom, two lines from the bottom, on Kuf Yud Gimel Omid Beis. In yesterday's share on Kuf Yud Gimel Omid Aleph, we had a passing remark saying that you're not obligated to separate a katan ochel nevelos. You do not have to stop a child who's eating nevelos. We had the situation yesterday with Cheresh or Chereshes. They also have this halachic status of being like a child. You're not mechuyev to stop them from doing an aveira. As we'll see, you're not allowed to make them do the aveira, but there is no chiyuv to stop them from doing the aveira. And that little aside from yesterday's shiur will now be discussed in a little bit more detail. So Gemara starts off again, two lines on the bottom, Kuf Yud Gimel Omid Beis. Rav Yitzchok Bar Bisna, he was an Amora, who was Irkesu Le Maftechei Devei Midrash. He was in charge of the keys to the Beis Medrash, and somehow they were lost. But they were lost in Rishus HaRabim, and this was Bishabasa. So therefore, it wasn't able to be carried. They knew where they were, but they couldn't carry them on the on Shabbos from the Rishus HaRabim into the shul and open up the doors of the shul. So what did they want to do? Also, Lekami the Rapidos. So Rav Yitzchok Bar Bisna went to Rapidos. He was the posse for the area, and they asked him what to do. So Rapidos said, Amale, Zio, go, and return to Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Devar is a word that we have in a number of places. It means go and accompany. Tole Vitalia, go, and Rashi says, Tap Rashi, Hanhe, go and lead, go and accompany. Tinokos, Zichorim, Unikevos, Tinokos, boys and girls, little children, and go and take them to that place to play. Really, Tailu Hosom, and they'll go play over there, and they'll find the keys. And the Mishkakalu, if they do find the keys, Maisalu, they'll bring them back. And this way, you'll get the keys back inside the Rishus HaYochid. Mor says, what do you see from here? Almo Kesavar, Kotet Ochel Nevelos, Ain based in Mitzuvin Lafrisho. We see from here exactly a proof from Rav Pedas that you're not obligated to stop them from doing an Issa. After all, they would be carrying the keys from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYochid. That would be an Issa Deraisa. And nevertheless, these young children were not obligated to go and stop them from doing this. You're not allowed to tell them, go get the keys, but you're not obligated to stop them from taking the keys if they find them and bringing them back inside. So this seems to be a raya, Rav Pedas, to the idea that Katan Ochel Nevelos, you're not obligated to go and stop them. Where it says, let us say, Lema Messiah, that we have an additional proof to this position that Rav Pedas has from the following. It says, Lo Yomar Odom Latinok, Havi Li Mavteach, Havi Li Chosim. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to specifically instruct your young children, go and bring me the key from the Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, or carry a Dalai Lama's Rishus HaRabim, or go and bring me a certain type of Chosim, a certain type of signet ring, and carry it from, again, the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. It's something that isn't allowed to be done intentionally. You can't go and tell them to do this. However, Ella, you are allowed to go and let them, Ella Manicho, Tolesh, Manicho, Zorek. You would be allowed to go and let them play outside, and if they pluck a plant, if they're Tolesh, if they uproot a plant or a vegetable, or if they go and throw things in the Rishus HaRabim, Dalet Amos, no problem. You're allowed to let them do that. In other words, this is a raya. You're not allowed to go feed them specifically something that's usur, but if they're eating something that's usur, or they're doing something that's usur, for a young child, you're not supposed to stop them. Now, many of you are probably thinking, well, really? You're not mechuyev to stop your children from doing Yisurim on Shabbos? So there are many different terutzim to this question. So certainly, one should be mechadech their children. The question here, according to some, is at what age are you mechadech them? If this is a two-year-old kid, there's no real chinuch involved telling him, don't throw on Shabbos. He has no conception of what you're talking about. So some suggest that that's what it's talking about here, that there's no obligation to teach them, and therefore you can let them do whatever they want. And therefore, for an older child, this wouldn't apply. Others suggest that it depends on whether it's an issa d'rabbanan or an issa d'oraisa. A lot of this discussion is in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, and we'll leave it for a little bit later discussion. In any event, this seems to be a raya to what Rebbe Dos said. Bai says, Lav Davk, it's not a raya. I'm a bayi. No, here we're dealing not necessarily with an issa d'oraisa. Tolesh, when we said that you're allowed to uproot something from the ground, it's talking about ba'atzushin nokov. It's talking about a flower pot that doesn't have a perforation at the bottom, and therefore, in this situation, it's only an issa d'rabbanan. And again, as I just alluded to, by an issa d'rabbanan, you can't bring me a raisa, a raya that by an issa d'oraisa, the same thing would apply. By an issa d'rabbanan, the rabbis were the ones that instituted it, so you could argue they never instituted it for a young child. Whereas by an issa d'oraisa, it's across the board. So Bayi says, when we're dealing here with Elabinicho Tolesh, it's talking about Tolesh from an Otsashen Onokov, which would only be a Dinder Rabbanan. And likewise, when we said Minicho Zorek, we're dealing over here Zorek Bekarmelis. We're talking about not from Rishus HaRabim, throwing it Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim, But you're dealing with a Carmelist, which is technically on a Doraisa level, a Rishus HaYochin. You're allowed to carry Dalet Amos in a Carmelist. The rabbis instituted. The Carmelist looks too much like a Rishus HaRabim, so we don't let you go carry in a Carmelist. So therefore, Abaye says you can't bring me any Raya that by Anissa Doraisa, you are not obligated to prevent the child from doing the Anissa Doraisa from this Braisa, because this Braisa is talking about Yisurim the Rabban. Where it tries again to shlug up Rapidos, Toshma, from the following Braisa. It says, Ovi kochovim shibol l'chabos. There's a fire, Rachmon al-San al-Shabbos, and the guy comes to put it out. So, ain't omrim lo kabe. You're not allowed to tell him, listen, put out the fire on Shabbos. Again, this is talking about with a zero risk of pikuach nefashos. L'maisa, that never occurs. L'maisa, you're allowed to go and call the fire department. You'll have to go and ask anybody, even a yid could go put it out because of bikuach nefashos. So let's make sure that we understand that. Here we're talking about the zero risk of bikuach nefashos. So in that situation, you can't tell the guy, listen, please put out the fire. But likewise, you're not allowed to say to him, al tachaba. If he comes to put it out, you don't tell him, you're not allowed to put it out. You're not obligated in what the guy does. And therefore, by the guy, you can't tell him to put it out because that directly benefits you, and I'm merely akim, you're not allowed to do. But if he comes to put it out on his own, you're not obligated in any way to tell him, please don't do that. Why? He's not yours. He's not falling under the rubric of Shomer Shabbos that you're obligated to have him be Shomer Shabbos. In fact, Gar Shoshavas is Chayav Misa. He's not allowed to be Shomer Shabbos, and therefore, if in fact he wishes to put it out on his own, he's allowed to do so, and you don't have to stop him. As opposed to Katan Abol L'Chabos, if a young kid comes, a Jewish kid comes to go put out the fire, you must not let him. Omrim lo al techabe. Again, zero pikuach nefashos here. You're not allowed to tell him to put it out, and you have to stop him from putting it out. Why? Shishvi soso aleim. Says ato vincho vitecha. You're obligated to go and tell him not to do melach on Shabbos. So here you see clearly against Rav Pidos, the Braisa clearly tells us that you're not allowed to go put out the fire on Shabbos, and you have to stop him from putting out the fire on Shabbos. So Rav Yochanan answers, no, I'm Rav Yochanan, but osal das aviv. You know why this kid has to be told to stop? Because he says, oh, my father's going to be very unhappy over here that the fire is burning up his outdoor furniture, and therefore I'm going to go and put it out because that's what my father wants. So it's as if the father had told him, put it out, and that everybody agrees. You can't tell the child to go do the malacha. But this is not a case of the child independently doing the malach on his own. The child is acting on behalf of the father, even though the father didn't specifically ask him to, and that's why you have to stop him. But if the child were to be doing an issa totally on his own, then this would not be a proof that you are allowed to shave al-tasi. Just sit there and not do anything. That would be perfectly acceptable. Where says, wait a second, if you're telling me that the child's acting on behalf of their father, so then by the guy, the kabasi gabi obi kochabim, the osel dasi so mishari, so then if the child's doing it on behalf of their father, so you have to be parallel in the case, so then the guy is doing it on behalf of the yid. And then why should it be permissible? That should be amir liakum. And just like if the child's doing it on behalf of the father, it's not allowed, so too if the guy is doing it specifically on behalf of the yid, it also shouldn't be allowed. Why did the bride say that it's allowed? So Gemara gives us a very good answer. Gemara says, "Ovi kochavim adaita denavshei ovid." The guy is doing it for his own benefit, as Rashi points out. Afilu belo yidias Yisrael. Let's say the yid's not around, and the guy sees the fire. So another yid is not mechuyev to tell him, "Hey, stop that," because Ovi kochavim is kabin lahanaso. The Ovi kochavim is saying, "I'm going to get a reward over here. Shudei shitul schar. I'm going to put it out, so they're going to give me a big plaque and a testimonial dinner, and they'll give me a reward. They'll give me money." So the guy is doing it on his own behalf. Even if the yid is there, the guy is not doing it because the yid's telling him to do it. The guy is doing it because he says, "I'm going to get rewarded for doing this." So he's doing it al das atzmo, as opposed to the child. If the child's doing it totally al das atzmo, then you're right. We're not mechuyev to stop him. But if he's doing it on behalf of the father, so then we don't say he's doing it on his own behalf. He's doing it on behalf of the father, and that's why we have to stop him. So there's no raya against Rapidus from that brisa. Toshma, now we're going to bring a brisa that supports what Rapidus says. The following brisa says, "A ben chavish eragil lelech etzel avi imo ama aretz." You have over here a man who married a woman. They're raising their children as chaverim. The family is a religious family, but the mother comes from an irreligious family, and her parents are amaya aretz. So therefore, this grandchild goes to visit the grandparents. So ben chavish eragil lelech etzel avi imo. The grandchild goes to the maternal grandparents who amaratz him. So he comes back. You don't have to say, listen, don't eat over there. You can't trust the kashas there. No, you're allowed to assume that the amaratz grandparents, the maternal grandparents, aren't going to feed him tevel, We don't have to be concerned about that. Now, part of the reasoning, as we'll explain in a moment, the Gemara is because even the Amoratzim, most of them did take off Trumas and Maisos. Only a small percentage that didn't. And that's why we'll see, ultimately, you're allowed to let them go to the grandparents to go and eat over there. And even if he comes back in Mos Biodo Peros, he comes back with fruit in his hand, you're not obligated to take it away from him. Ein Zokuklo. Oh, what do you see from here? You're not Mechuyev to have a cut no chalnevelos to stop him. Here, the child is potentially eating tevel. And the parents aren't Mechuyev to stop it. Oh, this seems to be a right, Rapidos. So here again, Rav Yochanan, before he said you can't schlug up Rapidos, here he's saying you can't use this as a riot, Rapidos. I'm Rav Yochanan, Bidmai Hekilu. In this situation, you're dealing over here, at worst, with Duma. What is its status? The majority of Amoratim do take off Trumas and Maizos. Only a small percentage that don't. The rabbis will go there on that small percentage, on all the Amoratim, that you can't go and take their produce without retithing it, without taking off Trumas and Maizos again. But that's only Midrabbanan. And therefore, in regard to Dumai, the rabbi said, you don't have to stop the grandchild over here from eating these fruits, because at worst, it's only Dumai. And therefore, you're not mechuyev to stop them. So therefore, you can't use this as a general riot throughout Pidus that says, even by Yenisa Deraisa, Katan Ochel Nevelos, that you're not mechuyev to stop them. More questions with Yochanan says, wait a second. The only reason you're saying this over here is because Elotayim Modudamai, implying Ho Vadai, if this was Vadai Tevel, then Boi Lasure, that you wouldn't let the Katan go and continue eating it. You'd have to first take off Trumas and Maizes from it. But wait a second, Rav Yochanan, we just learned a second ago that Rav Yochanan said, Ba'osel da'as abib, in the case of the fire on Shabbos, we said the child is acting on behalf of the father. And therefore, only in that situation do we say that the child has to be told, stop, don't put out the fire. Implication being, if the child's not acting on behalf of the father, even by Yenisa D'Oraisa, you're not mechuyev to tell him to stop. But here you see that we are mechuyev to tell him to stop. He's not acting on behalf of the father by eating this apple. He wants to eat the apple. He wants to eat the grape. And therefore, even when he's not acting on Das Obik, Rav Yochanan says over here that you must stop him. The implication was, Hovadai Boile Asure. So we seem to have a stira in Rav Yochanan. Shmuel says, no, we don't have a stira in Rav Yochanan. You have to understand why Rav Yochanan said in each case differently. Because El Rav Yochanan Sipu came in Safkale. Rav Yochanan did not know if Rav Pidos was right, or maybe he was right. He didn't know. And therefore, maybe a Katan Ochel Nevelos, you have to stop him, and maybe a Katan Ochel Nevelos, you don't have to stop him. And therefore, when the situation was with the fire and the child putting it out, so Rav Yochanan said, maybe that's technically allowed, because only Bosi Adas of it, or you have to tell him not to put it out. But if he was acting on his own, maybe you wouldn't. And over here, in the case of the Vadei Tevel, he says, no, maybe in that situation, you have to go and tell him, maybe we do have to stop him, and therefore, you have to stop him. So Rav Yochanan was subbing Masafkale, and therefore, koi ho-cho matri, koi ho-cho matri. In each case, he took the opposite opinion, so to say, you have to take the worst-case scenario. Maybe in this situation, you do have to say, Katan Ochel Nevelos, you have to stop him. Maybe in this case, you have to say Katan Ochel Nevelos, you don't have to stop him. So therefore, Rav Yochanan was in the Supik over here, and that's why he seems to have two different understandings in the two different cases. But you can't bring a riot to or against Rav Pidos from either of those two brises. Try again. Toshma, the following brisa seems to support Rav Pidos. Ben Chaver Kohen. If you have a child of a Kohen who's a Ben Chaver, Shiragu Lelech Eitzel Avi Imo, Kohen Am Aretz. So he goes to the maternal grandparents again, who are Kohanim as well. His mother was a Bas Kohen, but the maternal grandparents are Amoratzim, and they're not so medakdik in Trumas Maisus. So again, you don't have to say, no, you can't go eat by your maternal grandparents. And Choshim, we don't have to be concerned. Shem Yachalena Truma Tmeya. They're going to give him Truma that is Tmeya. That's one of the things that we normally would be concerned about with an Amaris, and not so medactic on Tumah and Tara. Another definition of the Amaris is that we're not so medactic on taking off Tumas and Maestros. So there are certain technical definitions of an Amaris that we're using over here. In any event, we're not concerned that the maternal grandparents are going to give him Truma Tmeya. And furthermore, even Matzo Biodo Peros, he comes back home from the maternal grandparents' house and he has an apple or grape in his hand, ain't Zokadlo, you're not Mechuyev to take it away from him. Oh, here you clearly see that this may be an Issa Deraisa of eating Truma Temeya. Yet we're not Mechuyev to stop him. Oh, Katan Ochel Nevelos, you're not Mechuyev to stop him. So Gemara says, no, Lab Dafka, this is Truma Deraisa again, but Truma Derabbanan. We could be speaking over here with Truma Derabbanan. You're not Mechuyev to stop him. But Truma Deraisa, maybe you would be Mechuyev to stop him. So you get Premier Raya to wrap it up from here as well. Try again. Toshma. The following brisa tells us, Yonek Tinok, a very young child, a baby who's still nursing, is allowed to go and nurse. Yonek Tinok Vaholech, the Ovedes Kochavim, from a wet nurse who's a goita, Umi Behemotme, or even from an animal that is not kosher. You can go and suckle directly from the Ovedes Kochavim or from the camel, you'd be allowed to go and drink the milk. Let the child drink the milk directly from the dad of the Ovedes Kochavim or of the camel, the animal that's not kosher. The Ein Choshishin, the Yonik Shekets, and we're not concerned over here that when you're having this impure type of milk from either the Ovedes Kochavim or from the camel, let's say, that you're doing something wrong. You don't have to stop the child from doing this. In Choshen Bionic Shekets, even though we do know from Moshe Rabbeinu that he wouldn't suckle from a mouth that was going to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shouldn't suckle from something that isn't 100% kosher, so that's by Moshe Rabbeinu. But Lav Davka, is that the din by everybody else? You can use a wet nurse, although the halach is if you are using a goyish wet nurse, so then you should try to have to feed it, to have her only eat kosher food, so then she won't be bringing impurities into the child suckling from her. In any event, Ein Choshim Yonik Shekets, you're not mechuyev to stop the child from going and having the Ovedes Kochavim or the Behemoth Tzmeya as a source of his nourishment. However, but you can't go feed him absolutely treifa food. You can't go and give this child nevela or treifa, shkotzim or remarshim, all sorts of non-kosher animals. So that you can't do. However, but any of these non-kosher animals you can't have the child suckle from. And he says, afilu b'shabbos. This is even allowed on Shabbos. Now, ubegadol. Now, normally a gadol means a child that is above the age of bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah. But here, from the context, so the Mefarshim bring down, and Tosfos Befeir says this elsewhere, that if the child is just an older child, it doesn't mean over here bar bas mitzvah, but the child's a little bit older than just a baby, so then also, then you're not allowed to go and let them do this. And Abishol adds, Abishol Omer, on Yontif, we would even allow the child to go and suckle from a behema tahora, from a cow, from a sheep. They would allow them to go and suckle from directly from the dot of the behema Torah on Yontif, as opposed to on Shabbos, not, which we'll explain in a moment. Now, that's the Brisa. Tani Mio, it said in the Brisa, Ein Choshim Yoni Shekets. We don't have to stop the child from eating the shekets over here from the Ovedes Kochavim or from the Behema Temeya. So clearly you see that you're not mechuyev to stop a child from doing an iser. So the Gemara says, no. The reason why in that situation was bikuach nefashah. It was also mishum sakana. It was a bikuach nefashah situation, and that's why you could give the child to drink. You could give them the child to eat anything in that situation. Certainly, you can have them suckle from the goita or from the non-kosher animal. Because sakana, bikuach nefashah. Or says, then why not the gadol as well? The yochi gadol nami. If you're dealing with pikuach nefashos, so then the four-year-old kid also, that should be a case of pikuach nefashos, who should allow it. Why do we say only by the tinok that you're allowed to, but by the slightly older child, you're not allowed to? That's what it says, because gadol boy umdina. Because by the older child, he's not at such risk, and therefore you have to evaluate each case individually. Even an adult above the age of bar bas mitzvah, if they're going to starve to death, so then you're allowed to go and feed them something that's not kosher. Rechmona Litzlan, people in concentration camps, people in all sorts of persecution, so they were halachically allowed to go and eat the shkotzim, the treifa food that they were given to survive, because otherwise bikuach nefashos. So too, over here, by an older person, you have to make an umdina. So even if it's an older child, you have to make an umdina, you have to make an estimation. Does the child need this or does the child not need this? But by an infant, we don't say that. By an infant, you just presume all the time that the child needs it. More questions then. It says, Kotu nami the boy umdina. So then maybe the baby also needs an umdina. And the Gemara gives the answer that I just said. Amarifuna Breda Rishua, Stam Tinok Mesukin Etzel Cholov. Every baby is considered to be at risk if you don't give it milk. Milk is the staff of life for this young child. The baby, now with the formula shortage in the world, you see the tremendous potential problems if a child doesn't get milk. So therefore, we have to go and presume that every child that's suckling is still going to be at risk, and therefore you don't have to do an umdina. But an older child, then you have to do an umdina to see, is this child going to die? Rechmana Litzlan, if you don't feed it, then you're allowed to feed it, even the treifas. But if the child will not die, just, you know, it'll be a little bit thirsty, so then that's not a reason to go and give the child the treifa milk. Okay. Abba Sholom, at the end of that braisa, Abba Shol said, that we would allow the children to go and suckle from a sheep, from a cow, on Yontif itself. So Gemara says, why only on Yontif? Hechi dami. Eid the ikasakana. If you're telling me to kuch nefashos, so then be Shabbos nami. Then you should be allowed to do this on Shabbos. And eid the lekasakana. I feel beyontif also. If it's not a kuch nefashos situation, so then why are we allowed to do this on Yontif? Again, we don't milk an animal on Yontif. We have ways to do this because the animal shouldn't have tsar, but you're not allowed to go and benefit from that. So how come we're letting the child go and benefit and drink the milk from the animal on Yontif and not on Shabbos? If it's pikuach nefashos, it should be both. If it's not pikuach nefashos, it should be neither. which is lo tzricha. This case is different. Why? Because the ikar tzara, the baby has tzar by not giving him the milk. Now, it's not because of the fashos, but the baby will have tzar. Because Sabar, and therefore Abba Shaul said, since the baby will have tzar, albeit it's not pikuach nefasho, since he's a baby, mefarik kilaacha yadhu, there's only a din derabbanan, because if you were to go and squeeze the dad and take the milk out of the teat of the animal yourself on Shabbos or Yontif, so that would be an issur mefarik. But if you're doing it kilaacha yad, by having the baby put the mouth directly to the dad of the animal, so then that's kilaacha yad, that's only derabbanan, and we're not makbit over here on a derabbanan on Yontif. On Shabbos, the Issur Skila goes Rabbanan. But on Shabbos, where it's a life and death situation, if you were to be transgressing this on Shabbos intentionally, it'd be a Chas V'Shalom, a Chiyuv Skila. So therefore, the rabbis would go to very strict in regards to not allowing this, even though it's only a Durabbanan on Shabbos. They would go to on Shabbos for such a strict Issur. However, Yontif, which is at worst only the Issur Lav, I put in quotations always, it's only a Lav. It's still a terrible thing. But since it's only a Lav, so even if the child were to go and transgress something on purpose, intentionally, it would, quote, only be a lav as opposed to an issur skila, so therefore, lo kasher be rabbanan, the rabbis didn't make a gezerah in such a situation. That explains Abba Shaul, why in Yontif yes, Shabbos no. Now the Gemara says, Toshma, let's have a right from the following brisa. The brisa says, lo sochlum ki sheketzim. You're not allowed to go and eat a sheketz, something that is a non-kosher animal. So we darshin, and we say, not only is it lo sochlum, but we darshin lo ta'achilum. You're not allowed to go and feed this. And this teaches us, the Brisa says, l'hazer agdol ma'atam, that you're not allowed to go intentionally feed your children tray for food. My love, the amaluhu, lo sochlu, that you must tell the child specifically, lo sochlu. Not that you can sit back and say the katan can be ochel nevelos on his own and I don't have to stop him. Doesn't this pasuk seem to imply, the Brisa says, that you have to actually stop them. You can't just be passive and say, okay, I didn't ask him to eat it. He's eating on his own. He's in tag. No. You can't let them eat it. You have to stop them. So it says, again, no, that's not the way to understand the Brisa. The Brisa is talking about the low lispuk lay. That's the gist that we have. The box says it should be luhu, because it's talking about in general to all the young children, the low lispu luhu, to all the young children be a dime. You can't go and give it to them. That's what it means, but you're not mechuyev to stop them. So lo sachilim over here that we darshan means you can't give it to them. But again, lav davka, that you can't allow them to continue eating it if they're eating it on their own. Try again. We'll have three brises over here, and we'll ask why we need all three. So the first one is with the sheketz case. Lo sochlum, lo sachilim, only implies that you can't give it to them with your hands, but if they're eating it on their own, lav davka, you can't bring a riot. Toshma, the following brise says a similar thing. Kol nefesh mikem, lo socha dam. Nobody's allowed to eat dam. And we darshin, lahazir hagdolim alaktanim, that you're not allowed to go and feed them dam. So my lav, doesn't this come to teach us that you can't go and give it to them, and that you must stop them if they are in fact eating the dam themselves? The Amri Lahu Lo Tochlu, you have to say stop drinking that blood. Or it says again, lo, the lo lispu lahu bi adayim, that you don't have any obligation to stop them from eating it if they're eating it on their own, but you aren't allowed to go give it to them with your hands. Again, similar teretz, why do we need both of them? We'll explain in a moment. We have a third brisa, again, trying to teach us the same thing, and we'll give the same exact answer, and we'll ask why we need all three. So Toshma, we have the following brisa, famous start of Parshas Emor, where it says, Emor lo kohanim b'nei Aron v'yomarta aliyem. We have Emor v'yomarta, the famous drasha, that what does it say, the word Emor and then v'yomarta? It's duplicative. It's saying the same thing twice. So the famous answer the Gemara gives, Rashi and Chumash tells us, is l'hazir gedolim al ketanim, to teach the gedolim that they can't allow the ketanim to go and become tamei. My lav, the amaluhu lo li titamu, that you have to go and tell them don't become tamei and stop them from becoming tamei. He's about to run into the cemetery for his ball. You have to tell the child Cohen, no, you're not allowed to go in there. So that's what it's teaching us. So you have to stop them. Again, the Gemara says the same terrors. Lo, the lo li tamu luhu bi adayim. No, that you're not allowed to go be metami them yourself. You can't push him to go towards the cemetery to go get the ball. But if he goes on his own, no problem. So the Gemara says, utricha, why do we need all three cases over here? They seem to all be saying the same thing. And we answer each one the same way, that you aren't mechuyev to stop them. You just can't go and forcibly make them do eating from the sheketz or eating the blood or becoming tummy. So we need all three. Gemara says utzriche, because if you only told me the shkatzim case, the yashminim shkatzim, the Torah says you're not allowed to go feed them, lo sachilim, you're not allowed to go and feed them shkatzim, but if they're passively eating them, you're allowed to sit by and not do anything. We turn to kufidalim ubeis. That would be Mishum the Isurim B'mashu, as Rashi says over here, B'chadasha Kitumasan, that the Isser of eating the Shmoni Shvatzim is even an Adasha, just like the Din of Tum is by an Adasha. Tosu doesn't like this for various reasons, and the ways to defend Rashi, but Tosu says at the end of the top Tosos, and he says that L'chainir L'ri, likewise this is the Pshat that the Ri has, and he says they're dealing over here with an entire Namala, an entire insect, Mishum Dehu Birya, so even a small insect is usher because of being a birya, an entire entity. And that's why it means Bishur Mamasru. But it's not talking about Chadash like Rashi says. But blood, which is an Isser, the Ad, the Iko, reveals, so therefore, that's a larger amount. And I said, no, maybe in that situation, the din doesn't apply. Same below. I would say that you're not Mechuyiv in that situation. It's only on something that's so strict, like Shkatzim, that you're Mechuyiv, but by blood, you wouldn't be Mechuyiv. Oh, that's why it needs to tell me the case by blood. No, so just tell me blood and I know the shkatzim. Vi yashmin and dam, I would say no, mishum di kakaris. That's because it's a much stricter isser. The isser of eating a mashu of shekets is only, quote, a lav, and the isser of drinking blood, so that's an isser of kares. So I would say it's much stricter by blood, but it's not the same din by the shekets. I will shkatzim, aim alone. You're not mechayiv to stop them, so therefore you need both of them. I just tell me these two, and don't tell me the third case that we brought down with the tomb of the Kohen. Yashmin and Hanitarti, I would have said Mishum Disur and Shavu Bekal, because this is a din that applies across the board to all Jewish people. Avol Tumah, which only applies to Kohanim, Eimalo, I would say no. Therefore, you're not Mechuyev in terms of the Kohanim, because it doesn't apply to everybody. So therefore, has to tell me the case by the Kohanim. No, so tell me just by the Kohanim. Yashmin and Tumah, and more of Yamarta, by the Kohanim. I would say no. Kohanim Shani, we have to be strict by Kohanim. Mishum Deriba and Mitzvah Siseris, because the Kohanim so many extra mitzvahs, so they're in a higher Madrega. So therefore, you have to stop the Kohanim's son from becoming Tamei. That's why you need the pasuk to tell me that you don't have to stop them if they're doing it on their own. But everybody else doesn't even get off the ground. I would say it's a hetter gomer. Therefore, Aval Hani Emalo. So therefore, I would say by the Shkatzim or by the blood that this doesn't apply at all. Therefore, you have to teach me this din, Tzricha. You need all three cases to be taught in the three separate prices. Mark continues and says, Toshma, we learned on Kufiud Beis several scenarios, and we'll try to bring Rayas in there, that you are obligated to, in fact, stop a katan from doing something that's usher. So we learned in the Mishnah there, Toshma, Shnei Achin, Echot, Pikeach, Vechot, Cheresh. We had the two brothers, one was a full bardas, the other one was a Cheresh, who married Nisuim, Shnei Achoyos, Pichos, who married two sisters. They both, sisters, both were competent and fully Pikachos women. Now, the brother who was the Cheresh died, so then his wife falls Yibim to a full-fledged brother and a full-fledged sister, both Pikrim. So then, what do you do in that situation? That's a regular situation of Achos Ishto. So therefore, Teitzei Mishum Achos Isha. His wife is married to him, and her sister can't fall to him in Yibim. That's very simple, straightforward, no Cheresh there. However, the other way around, Meis Pikach Ba'Pikachas, if the competent brother goes and dies, and now the Cheresh brother, what does he do? Say, there's a problem over here. He's married to the sister. So on a Durabonim level, his marriage is a good marriage, and we should say that Achos Ishto, he shouldn't have the woman fall Yibim to him. However, on a Duraisa level, she does. So you're stuck over here. Mayas Cheresh Ba'Pikachas, so Motzi is Ishto again. He has to divorce his wife because she is now Achos Zikukoso, and on the Raisa level, he's not allowed to stay married with her. And at the same time, the Ishis Ochiv Asur Yom, he can't go and marry his Yavama, because it is, on a Durabana level, Achos Ishto. So this person is going to be stuck, because she can't have Chalitza, and she can't have Yibam. So this poor Yavama is going to be stuck, and he has to divorce his wife. Now, the Gemara's question is here, Amai Motzias Ishto Beget? Why does he have to go and divorce his wife with a get? After all, he's a Cheresh. And Tesev Gabe, let her stay married to him, because Katan Ochol Nevelusu, he is a Katan, in the sense that he's only Derabanan, Mechuyiv in any mitzvos, and therefore, we shouldn't force him to stop doing what he's doing. In other words, to stay married inappropriately now to his wife, because it's Achos Zikukaso, and we should let him stay in that marriage, because after all, he's a katan ochel nevelusu. He's only a cheresh. He's not mechuyiv on a deraisa level here. So therefore, why don't we say that he can stay married to her? Why did he have to be motzi es ishto beget? That's the Gemara's question. Must be that we don't allow katan ochel nevelusu. Someone says, no, that's not the case. If it was only him involved, you're right, it would be katan ochel nevelus. What about her? She's a full-fledged pikachas. Mishum isura dida. So every time that he had relations with her, so granted, he wouldn't have any problems, but she would have a problem. So therefore, we force him to go give her a get to prevent her from sinning, even though by him it would be katan ochel nevelus. So you can't bring me right from there. But we keep on going in that Mishnah. It said, Toshma, the next case in that Mishnah, Shnei Achim Pichin, if you have two brothers, both of them are Pichin, Nesuyin, Shnei Achoyos, they're married to two sisters, however, Achas Mikachas, Achas Chareshis. One of the sisters is not a full Bardash, she's a Chareshis. Now, If the brother who married the Chareshes died, so the Chareshes falls in Yibam to a full-fledged marriage, so there again, there's no question in this situation. She just goes out. She doesn't need Yibam Chalitza. This is a regular case of Achosisha. He's full-fledged marriage to her sister, so therefore, the sister can't fall in Yibam to him. So therefore, she goes out without Chalitza, without Yibam. No problem. No straightforward, no Chiddush. However, if the Pikach who married the Pikachas dies, so now the Pikachas falls in Yibam to a full-fledged brother. So in this situation, Motzias Ishto Beget, he has to get rid of his wife with the get, because this is now Achos Zikukaso, and on the Raisa level, his requirement is to do Yibum Chalitza to the sister. So therefore, the wife, his wife, was only married Midi Rabbanu because she's a Chareshes, so that's going to be pushed aside, and he has to give her a divorce. Motzias Ishto Beget. And then he can do only Chalitza, Meishas Ochim and Chalitza, he can't do Yibum with her because it's on the Rabbanu level, it's Achos Ishto the other way. So therefore, he can't do Yibum with her, but at least he'll do Chalitza because they're both Bardas. Now, the question again is here, why? Vamai, Motzias Ishto again, why does he have to go and divorce his wife? She's a Chareshes. So, Tesev Gabe, let her stay married to him, and because Katan Ochle Velasu, it should be a situation of she's not Mechuyaves, she's a Katan in this sense, and therefore, let her stay married to him. What's the big deal? So it says, not a big deal for her, but it's a big deal for him. Yishum Yisurah today. He is also to have relations with her now, because this woman, his wife, is Achos Ziku Kaso, and therefore she's not allowed to stay married. Her point of view, she's a Katana, so to say, as a Chareshes. So no big deal, Katana Chalavelis. But by him, every time he'd have relations, it would be an Isser. So again, the same exact terrence, the opposite way of looking at it, same exact terrence we gave a minute ago. So neither of these two parts of the Mishnah are a Raya against Rabbi Pados. Try again. Amarava Toshma. In the following case, the Mishnah continued and said, "Shnei Achin Echad Cheresh Vechad Pikach Nisum Shnei Achayos Achas Pikachas Vechas Chereshes." You have two brothers marrying two sisters. The competent brother married the competent sister, and the incompetent brother, the Cheresh, married the incompetent sister, the Chereshes. Now, again, Meis Cheresh Bal Chereshes. If the Cheresh dies and the Chereshes wife, the Yavama, falls to the full-fledged marriage brother, so then Maya said, be careful, Bikach is nothing. She just goes out because of Achos Ishto. He has a full-fledged marriage to her sister, so this is a regular standard case of she goes out, she doesn't need Yibam or Chalitza, no problem. But the other way around, is that the competent brother passes away, Nebuch, and then the competent wife, the Bikachas, falls in Yibam to her incompetent brother-in-law, he's a Cheresh, who's married to Chareshes. Now you got a big problem. Maya is a Cheresh by Chareshes. What should he do? He has a Daraisa obligation to do Yibam, but he's married to her sister, Midir Abonin. So again, Motzias Ishto Beget, he can give her a get, just like she came in, Midir Abonin, she can go out with Midir Abonin, but he's forced to give her a get. And then, the poor Yavama, she's stuck, because she can't have Chalitza from this person, but she can't have Yibam from this person. Chalitza she can't have because he's a Cheresh. And can't stay the psukim, and we said previously that that's going to ruin the potential to do chalitza. But she can't have yibam because on the rabbanu level, it's Achos Ishto. He was married to her sister on the rabbanu level. Now when he divorces her, it's Achos Gerushaso, and he can't do yibam with her. So this poor woman, the yivam is stuck. She's achav asur liolam until this guy dies, then she's allowed to marry. I hear the Gemara ask the question. Rava says, wait a second. The Lavi Suridida Iko, the Lavi Suridida Iko. Here, it's a Cheresh and a Chareshes. So you can't say, well, we force the divorce because one of them would be over in Issa. Here, both of them aren't over in Issa. They're both considered Kitanim. And therefore, both the husband and the wife, the Cheresh and the Chareshes, should be allowed to stay married. Why did we force him to give a get to her? Uktani, nevertheless, it does say, Motzias Ishto Beget. Oh, it mustn't it be, because we don't say Katan Ochel Nevelusu, so let's bring a raya against Rabbi Pados from the end of the Mishnah. Someone says, no, you still can't bring a raya. Over Rav Shmaya. Rav Shmaya said, this is a gezerah. The rabbis instituted a gezerah here. Why? Mishum HaTorah Sivam L'Shuk. If we don't force this divorce, then people are going to say, guess what? The Yavama is Muteris L'Shuk. She doesn't need Yibum Chalitza. We let them stay married. It must be a legitimate marriage, and it must be that there is no Achos Zikukas over here. There is no problem, and theoretically, the Yavama can go and marry Lashuk. If we don't demonstrate something over here, so people are going to mistakenly think that from this Dirabana marriage, you're Matur Yavama Lashuk. So therefore, the rabbis made a gzera. You force the divorce here, even though there's no problem because of Katan Ochel Mevei Lashu, but we still force the divorce to demonstrate to everybody that she is a Yavama waiting to have Yibam done to her. Unfortunately, she can't have Yibam because of the Achos Girushoso or Achos Ishto problem, and she can't undergo Chalitza because Nebuch, he was a Cherish. So therefore, everybody needs to know that, and therefore, they won't lead to a Takola, Chas V'Shalom, of HaTorah's Yavama L'Shuk. And therefore, that's why in this situation, we force the divorce, but not because of Katan Ochel Mevelos. If that was the only situation, then both the husband and the wife, the Cherish and the Chereshes, there wouldn't be a problem because Katan Ochel Mevelos. So the bottom line is, we haven't found a way to shlug up Rav Pidas. At the same time, we haven't found a way to support Rav Pidas. And as I mentioned, the halacha l'maisa is interesting. The Mishnah Berurah points out that if the katan is doing an isser, so we do have a concept of being limchos, tzorich limchos. We don't want the katan to do an isser once he reaches a certain age, so the parents should go and do this, but they may not have an absolute chiyuv to do so. With this, we conclude the beautiful 14th perek, Hadron Alecha Cherish, Hadron Alecha Cherish, Hadron Alecha Cherish, and we start the penultimate perek in the Masechta, the 15th perek in Yevamos. And we begin with the following Mishnah. A woman and her husband, they go off on a business trip overseas, and Nebuch, the husband's going to die. And what's the state of their marriage? Shalom beino leveinot, there is peace between them. In other words, a happy marriage. And we'll see, Tosus points out that that's the default situation. It's not telling us this, that you have to know this bedavka. We can assume under the normal situation. The second Tosus, Tana Shalom Beino Levino, tells us this, the Lord Sarach Lemisne, Dostoma the Mil Sahachiyu, the Shalom Beino Levino. It didn't have to tell us this, it's only because of the Sefer, as the Gemara will point out, that it told us that there was peace between them. But that's the default position. We don't have to have proof of that. We can always assume that a marriage, Baruch Hashem, is a good marriage. So if this Shalom Beino Levino, in other words, there's no fighting between her and her husband, so we have no reason to suspect that she may be lying to say that her husband died so she can get out of that marriage. And likewise, the Shalom Ba'olam, and there's peace in the world. That's also the default position, that if there is no reason that we have to be concerned over here, that she's afraid because of her life, because of war, that she may not be telling the truth. So then, if there's this Shalom, the default position of being Shalom Be'no, Be'no, Shalom Ba'olam, so then if she says, Nebuch, my husband passed away, Meis Bali on the business trip, so then, Tinase, she's allowed to go get married. This is assuming she has children, she'll go get married. She's considered a Almona. And if she didn't have children, and she says, Meis Bali, Tisyabim. So much so do we believe it that we even allow to commit what would normally be a terrible issur of having relations with her brother-in-law. So in this situation, it's b'malka mitzvah and tisyabim. She'd be allowed to go and be believed and have yibim with her brother-in-law. However, if there's shalom beino levino u'muchanim ba'olam or kitat beino levino shalom ba'olam, if only one of the two is present, is either peace in the world, but there's fighting between her and her husband, or there's a good relationship between her and her husband, but Nebuch, there's fighting in the world, and we're concerned that maybe the husband died in battle over here. So then in this situation, if she comes back and says that her husband died, also the armor, Meis Bali, in either of these two scenarios where she says that her husband died, so then Eina Nemenes, we don't believe her. Number one, if there's fighting between her and her husband, as Rashi says, Ketarata, Beinol Veinah, Yishlom HaMitosh Shisonasa, we have to be concerned that because she hates him, he wrote so less or Asmoala. So she's more than happy to go get married to somebody else and then find out that her husband's alive. Well, sorry, I guess you have to divorce me. So it's not going to be a problem for her if she lies. Now, again, we're not saying that she's lying intentionally, but we're worried that she may presume certain things. Her husband went off into battle, and everybody else, as we'll see, in the battle died. So there's no reason for her to think that her husband was the only one that survived. And therefore, she wouldn't be believed because she doesn't know for a fact that her husband died. That's what we're saying over here, Eino Nemenes, because either she dislikes her husband, and this was the perfect way for her to get out of that marriage, she'll get married to somebody else, and then he'll come back and he'll have to divorce her, or that there's war in the world, and she's scared for her life, and therefore she doesn't verify that her husband died. She got out of the war area, and therefore, Eino Nemenes, we don't believe her in these situations. Review the disagrees a little bit. Review the Omer. La'olam Eino Nemenes. She's never believed in this situation. Elo imkein bosa bocha uvigradel kruim. She's not believed unless she comes back to us crying with torn clothing, and that would, so to say, demonstrate that what she's saying is really true, that her husband Nebuch passed away. Now, the Chachamim disagree with that. Amrullah, the Chachamim say no. Achazu, achazu, tino say no. Even if she doesn't have the bocha, she's not crying, and if she doesn't have her torn garments, nevertheless, she is believed, as the Tanakham had said. Tosos points out in the Tosos, Haisha Shalom, he says, Ein lahakshos, don't say the Hainu Tanakhama. Don't say, this opinion, Omru Lo, the Chacham, is the same as the Tanakhama. It is a Tanakhama. He's just explaining further that the Tanakhama's opinion is that you don't have to have Bocha and her Begodim Keruin in order for her to be believed. Okay. So the Gemara now points out what I already mentioned. The Gemara says, Tana Shalom Beino Levino. The only reason it said in the first part of the Mishnah that there's Shalom Beino Levino and that there's peace in the world, Mishum Dikaboy Lemisne Kitata Beno Levino in the Sefer. And therefore, that's why it says it in the Resha. And Tana Shalom Ba'olam in the Resha, Mishum Dikaboy Lemisne Muhammad Ba'olam in the Sefer. But the default position is in the Resha that is always assumed to be a good marriage and is always assumed to be peace in the world unless we know otherwise. Then the Gemara tells us, Amar Rava, my time of the Muhammad, what's the rationale behind saying that the woman does not believe that there's war in the world? Says I already alluded to. Mishum de Amra, she's going to say, Bididame. What does that mean, Bididame? She's going to estimate, right? She says, Ma'umid Liba, she's going to give an estimate in her heart. She loves her husband. The Apple gab lo chazite de meis, even though she didn't see him die, as we're going to explain in a second, Kitaparishas, the sovereign, she's going to say, Salka, Daita, Pechol, Hani, the Iktol. Everybody else in his platoon, everybody else in the war, they died. And who, Polit, he's going to be left alive? Loshem Bisnia. This is impossible for her to believe. So therefore, she's going to leave because of the war, because she's afraid to stay around there, but she's not going to verify that her husband actually died. She's just going to make an assumption, and therefore that's why we don't believe her. And that's what the Gemara says. Bishom the armor b'didami. She's going to make an estimation over here. Salka daita. She's going to say to herself, "Bechol hani deikto." Everybody else died. Who, Paulit? Is it possible that he was able to escape alive? No. And therefore, we don't believe her unless she can verify that he actually was dead. So then we have to presume that she didn't verify it. And you might have said, well, since there's such a loving marriage over here, why didn't she stay to verify it? So the answer is she was scared for her life. Because you know what? She was being shot at. In those days, an arrow. But here they're bombing. So there was a spear. Somebody's attacking the whole platoon, and she's watching. And she sees Nebuch, everybody else died. The whole platoon is wiped out. So she's assuming her husband's wiped out too, and therefore she's scared for her life. But in fact, well, she did see her husband being shot, or she did see the platoon being wiped out. Maybe he was given some sort of a samtri, Rashi says a tachbosha, some sort of a bandage or dressing that had certain types of herbs inside of it that v'choya were able to heal his wound, and therefore he didn't die. So since we have to be concerned about that, she's not believed to say that her husband died. Now the Gemara says, Sava Rava Lemeimar, Rava, when he said this statement, so he thought that this is only for Muhammad. He thought, Riavon, however, if there's a famine, ain't okay Muhammad. It doesn't have the same dinim as a Muhammad. Why is that? Because the low Amra Bididami. If there's no concern for her own life because they're not shooting at her, okay, granted there's a famine, so she's concerned in that respect, but she's going to make sure that her husband is dead before she leaves him. She'll make sure she does everything possible to keep him alive. So therefore, Rava originally thought to say that the Shas Rava, if there's a time of a famine, she is believed to say that her husband died, whereas in Muhammad she would not be believed. But then Rava said no. Hadar, Amar Rava. Rava then subsequently said, Re'avon harehu k'muhama. No, a famine has the same dinim as a muhama. Why is that? Because once was a ma'isa shahaya, and he realized that his original thought was incorrect. Because the asis lakame, the Rava, the once was a woman who came in front of Rava, and Amar lay, and she told him, Bali meis Rava, my husband died in the famine. No, he was testing her out. Amar lo, Rashi says that he was going to see if what she's saying is the truth or not. And he said to her, as Rashi says, l'nasosa ulatovsa mitoch dvareha niskabe. He wanted to see if she really saw her husband die or not. So he said the following to her, Shapir avadato, you did very, very well, the shezaft nafshech, that you saved your life by running away even before your husband was dead. Because solka daitoch debahau purto dinofafisa, because you appropriately and correctly thought, Rava said to this woman, that with a little bit of sifted flour that you left with him, the Shavakislay, Havachai, is it possible that he could live? Certainly not. And therefore, you ran for your life, and you presumed correctly that he was dead. So he was testing her to see if she would say, no, that's not what happened. And she said, yes, that's exactly what happened. Amulei, she said back to Rava, exactly, Mar, the master, you, Rava, Nami Yoda, you also knew what I knew. The Chihai Gabna Lochai, that it's impossible for a person to live under such conditions. This famine definitely killed him. That's what I thought. And I see, Rava, you say the same thing. But Rava was just really testing her, as Rashi said, that's not the halacha. And therefore, Rava said, after I saw this case, I said that Riavo needs to be treated like Muhammad. The woman can't be trusted unless she absolutely states that I buried my husband. I definitely saw that he was dead. If she just says she's dead, we don't believe her in this situation. And then furthermore, Rava went even a step further. Rava then went the next step and he said, Riavon Giriyam Muhammad. He says, not only is Riavon as good as Muhammad, originally thought it was not as good as Muhammad. He says, originally I thought it was not as good as Muhammad. Then I said it's as good as Muhammad. Now I said it's even worse than Muhammad. Why is that? Dilu Muhammad, by Muhammad, if the woman says, Kiyama, Meiz Bali by Muhammad, Hu delo mehemna. If she says that my husband died in the war, that's when we don't believe her. That implies that if she were to say, ha meisa mitosu mehemna, he didn't die in the war. He died in bed, and he had a heart attack, and he didn't die from the war, then she would be believed. It's only because of the battle that we're concerned that maybe she runs away from the battle thinking that she saw him wounded and that there's no way he could survive those wounds, when in fact he could have. But if she says, listen, he died in bed, so then there is no concern that she's running away from the battle, then we would believe her in that situation, but not in that same situation. We believe her in a famine, Rabba said. In regards to a famine, unless she says, I saw him die and I buried him, we don't believe her, because in a famine situation, it's even more likely for her to presume there's no way that he survived. And when, even if she say he died in his bed, that's like saying he died from famine, as opposed to in Muhammad, if she says he died in his bed, it has nothing to do with the Muhammad. So therefore, Rav originally thought that Re'ovon wasn't the same level as Muhammad, then he thought it was the same level as Muhammad, then he said it's even worse than Muhammad, and that we don't believe her at all, until she says, Meis ukvartiv, I actually buried him. In that situation, we would believe her. Then we have following other scenarios. Ma'apoleth, what happens if Nebuch, the house fell down on her husband? Harei hu k'muhamah. We treat this just like Muhammad. The Amra b'didami. The woman's going to presume there's no way he could have survived that. They bring out Nebuch, dead person after dead person. It was on the 1 year anniversary, Rahmanul Islam, of the situation that happened in Surfside. So Nebuch, they bring out a dead body after a dead body after a dead body. So then she presumed that her husband died also, when in fact he may not have. So therefore, Ma'apoleth is the same din as Muhammad. Unless she absolutely sees him dead, she can't make, we don't believe her, under any presumptive circumstances. Likewise, shiluach nechashim v'akravim, if there's a plague of snakes and scorpions, harein kimuchama, we also treat that as muchama, the armor b'didami, the woman's going to make presumptions that aren't correct. She's going to assume everybody else died, so mustam her husband died too. That's not going to be accepted. However, dever, when it comes to a plague, sa'amri lo harei hu kimuchama, some hold that this does have a status like Muhammad, that she's not believed. Others say no. Others say no. It doesn't have the same status as Muhammad, and she would be believed. Why? What's the svar behind both opinions? According to the opinion, it says that it's like a Muhammad. We don't believe her because the army be the dummy. Just like by Muhammad, she's going to presume certain things, and she's scared of the Muhammad, so she doesn't verify the husband actually died. So too by a plague, she wants to get out of the area, right? The din in Shulchan Aruch is, if you're in an area where there's a plague, run away. Get away from there as fast as you can. So in this situation, she, Mustama, ran away. She's terrified of the dever, so therefore she will also make presumptions or estimations that aren't correct. That's the opinion that says Hariyuk Muhammad. But according to the opinion that disagrees with that, Varmi law, Ainam Khachama, according to the opinion says it's not like war. Why is that? Because the Samche, she's going to rely upon that popular maxim that people say, the Amri Inshi, what people say is as follows. Shavshin Havamusna, there are 7 years over here of death. Musana is this death from this dead there, but nevertheless, below Shnei Lo Ozil, but a person, if his time's not up, isn't going to die from this plague. So therefore, that's a popular aphorism that people say. So therefore, she's not going to assume anything that her husband died until she actually never sees that he died, because she knows that in a plague, people do survive. And therefore, that's the opinion that says, I'm lo ainu k'muhamah, it's not like Muhammad. And if she says her husband died, then there's every reason to believe that she's telling us the truth, and we can believe her. This is a good break point for the shir, and with this we conclude today's shir.